Welcome to the Quotivation Podcast. Together, we will unlock inspiration one quote at a time. Your host is one of America's top emerging public speakers. He is a former semifinalist in the World Championship of Public Speaking and is an expert motivator. Please welcome Jody Powell.
Welcome to another episode of the Quotivation Podcast, and I hope you are ready to take the lead this week and win your week. I know someone who's winning their week, and that's Amy Real. So as you know, Amy's been a proud sponsor of our Shot of Motivation, and I had the chance to chat with Amy, and she has an exciting opportunity coming up. Amy has taken a position at Fairway Mortgage. So when I asked Amy why the change, she said, well, it's a local office, and I love that. She's located in downtown Spartanburg, South Carolina. If you don't know where that is, that's okay. Amy can help you wherever you are. She can help you virtually. The other thing she said was that Fairway Mortgage offers a cash guarantee. It's a program that'll make a cash offer to buy your home if you don't sell it before the allotted time period. So it kind of removes that contingency to buy status. Guaranteed cash. How nice does that sound? So, hey, cheers to you, Amy, and all the best in your new situation. You know, change is inevitable. It's one of the things that's just absolutely guaranteed in our life. There will be change. We will face change. But how we respond to change, how we adapt to change, that's what determines how successful we are in managing the change. And this sounds like a great change for Amy. So, with that said, let's kick off this episode by taking a shot of motivation. And of course, this shot of motivation is brought to you by Amy Real. And Amy is the real deal in all things mortgage. And she is now with Fairway Mortgage. So give her a call. Her number hasn't changed. It's still 864-310-9337. That's 864-310-9337. Call Amy today and tell her that you are now quotivated more than ever to get your mortgage deal done and take advantage of that guaranteed cash. Amy's NMLS number is 486620. And as always, thank you and congratulations, Amy. All right, let's take a shot of motivation.
It's time for a shot of motivation, where the vibe's like taking a shot, but the high is pure inspiration. This is a quick, powerful boost of motivation to fire up your spirit. Get ready for a rapid infusion of uplifting stories, impactful quotes, and game-changing ideas. It's the swift, potent dose you need to amp up your game and win your week. It's a shot of motivation.
You know, if there's one skill that I wished I possessed, one thing that I truly wish that I could do really well, it'd be to work on cars. To be able to recognize things that may go wrong with an engine or why my car is making that knocking sound every time I go up the hill. Not only be able to recognize when the car isn't working right, but also be able to diagnose the problem and fix it myself. Without having to call my guy. You know, most of us have a guy, right? Hey, I need a good mechanic. Oh, I know a guy. Well, my guy is named John, and John's a good dude. Fair. He's honest. He's upfront about any car issues I may or may not have. I wish I knew the things that John knows about cars. But that isn't my gift. I'm not mechanically inclined. I have no idea what the correct ignition timing would be on a 1955 Bel Air Chevrolet with a 327 cubic engine and a 4-barrel carburetor. What I do know is that that's a trick question. Because Chevy didn't make a 327 in 55, the 327 didn't come out till 62, and it wasn't offered in the Bel Air with a four-barrel carb until 64. However, in 1964, the correct ignition timing would be 4 degrees before tapped at center. Now, before you're overwhelmed with my apparent knowledge of timing ignition in a 64 Bel Air, you need to know that that was a movie line from the movie My Cousin Vinny. I have no idea what tap dead center means, or 327, 4 degrees. I have no idea what all that is. I mean, when I hear the words Bel Air, I think of Fresh Prince, not Chevrolet. Cars are just not my thing. I knew a leader in a top organization who loved cars. He collected Ford Mustangs. He rebuilt them and he sold them. He loved the late 60s Mustangs, but he also collected the Mustang GT 5.0 from the 80s. And he had a real souped up Mustang Shelby. Thing was nice. He was the quintessential car guy. He rebuilt them. He maintained them. He would even enter car shows and win trophies and prizes. And he was a terrible leader. Wait, how could you say that? He was a senior leader in a top organization. He had 15 to 20 leaders reporting to him. Indirectly, he led 600 to 700 people. Terrible leaders don't just fall into roles like that, do they? It happens more often than you think. Promotions tend to be given based on short-term business results, not leadership skills. This man led by fear. He was a bully. Now, I had to have a difficult conversation with him about leadership and why his team had the highest turnover in the entire organization. So I asked him, do you think the people that work for you are working at peak efficiency? Are they giving you their best? He said, absolutely. They better be, or they won't be on my team for very long. I don't have time to coddle someone. We have a business to run. Well, that's true. You do have a business to run. But what would you say if I told you that you're not getting the most out of your team? And in fact, most people that work for you, both directly and indirectly, are doing just enough not to get yelled at or get fired. He said, I don't believe you. And so he and I went over exit interviews. We also went over stay interviews of people that were on his team. Finally, we examined engagement surveys from his departments. Time after time, comment after comment, his team expressed a genuine fear of him, a desire to avoid him. And the comment that kept coming up the most was staying below the radar. Now, he pondered these comments and he came back with a look. I know I'm not an empathetic or compassionate leader. It can seem like I am a no-nonsense, get your work done or else kind of person. I get that. But that's worked for me. He clearly wasn't getting it. So I asked him, what's your favorite car in your collection? He said, oh, it's the Shelby, without a doubt. I said, huh. Well, do you ever take the Shelby to a shop or to a mechanic? You'd thought I had just insulted his mother. Absolutely not. I take care of my cars. I maintain them, and that's why they run at maximum efficiency. So I asked him, in the last 6 months then, what have you done to the Shelby to keep it running at peak performance? And he started listing things I'd never heard of, things like adding glass packs and changing spark plugs and bleeding the brake line. That sounds painful. All the things he said proudly. He said, I did all of these to make the Shelby run perfectly. So I asked him, well, why didn't you just walk in and demand that the Shelby run at peak performance or else you would sell it for another car? He smiled. He, at this point, knew where I was going with the metaphor. So I said to him, if you want to get peak performance from the people you lead, you have to take care of them. You have to be a provider of their needs. They need to feel safe. They need to know their leader understands what they're doing, the challenges they face, and how getting things done is not always easy to do. They want to know that they're doing a good job. They need to hear that from you. They need you to rally them in a positive way, to motivate them, to show them the why behind their work. Show them that the work they do is meaningful to the organization. Connect their why to the organization's why. I said, you need to change the spark plugs in your people every now and then. Take care of them the way you take care of the Shelby. But it's not just taking care of them. You need to take pride in taking care of them the way you are proud of taking care of your cars. See, as a leader, we don't lead with empathy and compassion simply to make people happy. It's not just about making people feel good. I had a leader tell me one time that it isn't his job to make people happy. That's so wrong. And the reason it's so wrong is that when you lead with empathy, understanding, positivity, the people you lead begin to work at maximum efficiency. They produce their best work. They take pride in what they do instead of simply doing enough to just get by or fly under the radar. And when your team is functioning at that level, the results for the organization are astounding. It truly is what's best for business. So to all you leaders out there, go change the spark plugs. Go maintain your team. Take pride in how you work with them. Listen to them. Cheer them on and help them succeed. Stop being a bully. Start being a mechanic. And to those of you who work for the bully, that just keep your head down or do just enough to satisfy the monster, go find a mechanic to work for. Leave the bully to fend for his or herself. That's how you win your week. I want to thank Amy Real for sponsoring this week's Shot of Motivation.
This has been a shot of motivation from America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. We hope it helps you win your week.
All right, let's get to our special guest this week. Kimberly Day helps successful and high-achieving coaches, course creators, speakers, and entrepreneurs attract more clients and make more money by writing a book to use as a marketing tool to get speaking gigs, gather an audience of ideal clients, and grow a big lifestyle business. If you want to get off the income roller coaster and have consistent and predictable income in your business, then her unique client enrollment system might be the solution you've been looking for. Please welcome to the Quotivation Podcast, Kimberly Day. Kim, how are you?
Well, I'm fabulous. Thank you for asking. That was such a great introduction. Nice to be here, Jody.
Oh, it's so great to have you here. I'm really excited to learn about what you do, what you offer, how you walk speakers, entrepreneurs, business owners through this process, and really with the ultimate goal of let's make some more money. Let's provide people with what they need because we have something that people need. So we need to identify those people. Who are they? And how do we get them what they need? So talk to me a little bit about what you do and walk me through the process.
Yeah, well, thank you for asking. And it's exactly, which is probably comes as no big surprise, the struggle that I was going through when I first got started as an entrepreneur. So for over 13 years, I was a struggling financial advisor. And I say struggling because I was desperate to have a independent business, right? Where I could be my own boss, I could have my own clients. And the biggest problem though was, is when I went to finance school, they didn't teach me about lead generation and marketing. So I think we've shared this before, but like I sucked. I sucked so bad at finding clients that I now lovingly refer to it as I was always on this income roller coaster. So if you're listening or watching and you can relate to this, right? It was I would have some really great months and be making some good money. And then all of a sudden it would be like, oh my God, where is my next mortgage payment coming from? Car payment coming from? I would sometimes get to the point where I was like, literally, like my cell phone's about to get cut off. Like, this does not feel good, right? Especially I was in the world of finance. So there was lots of things going on for me, imposter syndrome. Like, how can I teach people about their finances and I can't even like pay for my next meal, right? And it wasn't that I wasn't keenly aware of what to do with money when I had it. It's that I wasn't keenly skilled at finding new clients. And so I didn't have income coming in. And those are two separate things, right? Creating the ability to earn income versus the ability of what to do with money when you have it. So, but in my brain, I was just like, I suck. I'm an imposter. No, nobody should listen to me. I can't, I'm broker than a joke. Who's going to listen to me to take financial advice? So you can imagine this was a big negative cycle. So what would I do? Tail between my legs. I'd hop straight back into a J-O-B, a soul-sucking, horrifying, you know, the least thing from free, J-O-B. But I would make money doing it, right? So it was just kind of the easy way to go back into my comfort zone.
So what was the tipping point? What was the point where you said, I'm done with the job, I'm done with making other people money, getting paid pennies on the dollar for what I bring in. I'm going to do this for myself and I'm going to figure out how to get off this roller coaster. How did you do that?
Well, I had a big TSN turning point in the game, what I refer to it as. And not everybody's TSN turning point of the game is this dramatic, but mine was I was in one of these, you know, soul-sucking jobs. I had an uninspiring and unappreciative managers. And, you know, I say managers because they should be leaders, but they're not. They're managers. So if you can relate to that, I was working in the automotive finance sector as well. So I was still in finance. So I was still being able to talk to people about money and, you know, stay in alignment with that path that I was looking to create for myself. But I would do it in a car dealership, right? So if you've ever bought a car, I was the person you'd go to after you bought the car from the salesperson. You'd come into my office and I'd help you arrange your loan, sell you your warranty and all that stuff. So the great part was, is I actually did make really good money. I made over six figures doing this. But the one thing I didn't have to do was find the client. The sales guys did that. Right. So they would bring me the lead, and then I would go through my process of explaining to them what their best solutions were, walking them through all of that, their options, and all that kind of stuff. So, it, fast forward to I'd been about a year in this working on my side business, right? Trying to find my client base part time while I was working the bigger full time job. And it was a busy Saturday at the dealership. And again, if you've ever been to a car dealership, it's like the showroom floor is in the middle, right? The big shiny cars. And then around the outside of the showroom, like within the building, are all the glass offices because the salespeople need to see what's going on the showroom floor. The sales managers need to be monitoring the sales team. The finance officers are also inside of glass offices because we want to see what's going on. We need to know if customers getting ready to come down the pipeline. And it was middle of the afternoon. I still had about three or four more car deliveries to send out that day from that were in the calendar in the roster, and I get called to my boss's office. So I'm like, yep, I'll be right there. I hop up out of my chair and I walk across the showroom floor from my glass office to his glass office, and I get sat down and I get told, we're moving in another direction.
Oof.
Yeah, that conversation. And not just we're moving in another direction and you're getting a week's notice or 2 weeks notice, or you know, at the end of your shift, just make sure you know, pack all your things up. It was no, we've got somebody waiting to come and sit in your chair in your glass office,
Like
and
literally right
like
now.
literally right now, like go pack your things and get out of the building.
What? Wow.
So I had to pull myself together and not burst out into tears, because that's what I felt like doing. But I was like, there's no way he's getting that from me right now, because this is the most humiliating, degrading way that you could get fired ever. And I had to walk out of his glass office back across the busy showroom floor, fully staffed dealership.
Yeah.
And I had to walk back to my glass office, literal fishbowl, pack my belongings, and with my little box of stuff, walk across the busy showroom floor and out the door. And it was in that moment that I made the decision that never again was I going to put my livelihood in the hands of someone else. And that was when I made that decision. The question was, when did you decide to figure out this game called marketing? That was the moment. That was the moment I'm like, I need to figure this out, because I will never go back. I made a moment in a decision in that moment that I was not going to go find another job. I was going to figure out how to do this once and for all.
So before we get to how you figured that out, I want to touch on something here, because you said something that sparked a thought. Working in the automotive industry, working for a car dealership, being, I would imagine, one of only a handful, if any, other females on property.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about the environment, the relationship with your coworkers, and how difficult that was. Knowing that there is disparity between male and female workers, job equality, pay equality, all of those things are issues manifested greatly in the automotive industry. Tell me a little bit about that dynamic.
Yeah, it's interesting you ask that question, because it truly was. Not only does it happen in the finance industry, right? In the finance industry, it's very male dominated. The automotive industry, same thing. Mm-hmm. I was the only management position in the dealership where I technically wasn't actually the manager. I was given the title of manager, but I was still managed by the sales manager. Mm-hmm. I had no decision-making power in my department. I was still managed by a male sales manager who made all of the finance manager decisions. Mm. So yes, very, and you know, there's some amazing male leaders, right? There, I've worked with some amazing men in that industry too.
Sure.
And then there are some that aren't,
right?
Like they could have made any other decision. They could have made that decision at the beginning of my shift. They could have made it the day before and asked me not to come back for that shift. They could have done it in any way, any other way. They literally, it sometimes blows my mind, because that's not even just a male female issue. That's just a humanity and an integrity issue, right?
Very much so. Very much so.
But yes, very misogynistic, very male dominated, and very much an industry where women are to be seen, not heard. Put your pencil skirt on and shut your mouth and just go sell your stuff.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that, but that was kind of the way that industry worked. And, you know, I'm a strong, independent, powerful woman. And so it's not really a shock that I didn't get along with people that, because I would ask questions. When they said jump, I was like, I didn't say how high. I said, why are we jumping? Can you just explain to me that? Because if you can get me on board as to why we're doing something, I'll jump 110 feet for you.
Yeah.
But it was never that. It was like, don't question. Why are we jumping? The answer was, because I told you to. And I was like, oh, okay, we're probably not going to get along. So it was only a matter of time before I was going to exit that industry anyways. So at the end of the day, I'm actually grateful that it happened, because it gave me the kick in the assets that I really needed to finally figure out this thing called marketing and lead generation. So one day I'm going to go back into that dealership and shake that manager's hand and thank him for the decision that he made that day, because it put my life on a trajectory that is so much more inspiring, so much more powerful, and so much more fun and profitable, that at the end of the day, I'll be able to thank him for that.
Yeah. It's funny how things like that can happen to us, that in the moment, it feels like the worst thing in the world. To have that done so in such a disgusting manner. I mean, there's no other word for it. Middle of the day, in front of everyone. That's just, like you said, it's inhumane. It's just not, there's no dignity in that. And so, but to have something like that then turn into, like you said, the motivation to do what you were intended to do to begin with. So you walk out of the dealership, you have your box, you're walking out. I'm going to figure this out. I am never putting my hand, my career in the hands of someone else again. I'm going to take charge. That's great. What did you do?
Well, I booked a flight to Los Angeles is what I did because I'm also love to travel and I'm Canadian. Yeah. So anytime we can pair learning with a vacation, we do it. And so I booked a flight to LA and I went to a seminar. It was called the World's Greatest Marketing Seminar, literally. And it was the, you know, kind of the next step in the trajectory to change the course of my life. So I truly believe that if you're going to go out and you're going to change the world, you need to, I like to do things faster and more efficiently than I could do on my own. And for me, that's through learning and mentorship. Right. So I set off to go and learn from experts that know better than I do, because clearly I was not able to figure it out on my own. So I sought mentorship. And at that seminar, it was one of those larger, big platform speaking opportunities where there was a speaker that was up on stage talking about how to use a podcast to grow your business. Right. Mm-hmm. So like how you're doing, how to use email marketing to grow your business, search engine optimization, all the different strategies. And as I was sitting there listening to the gentleman who was talking about how to use a book to grow your business, things were just clicking in my head. Mm. So one of the things I always talk about when I'm teaching and training is like, don't believe a word I say, right? Because I only come from my perspective and what makes sense for me. So as I'm sharing this strategy with you or with your audience, like think about whether this makes sense for you, because sometimes it doesn't make sense, right? But for me, I was listening to this gentleman talk and I was, he was sharing with me about all of the things that a book can help you do. Like it positions you as an authority, right? The root word of authority is author, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
From young children, we're taught to read, that reading is important. Literacy is important. And we're handed books as children to read, right? And our parents would rather us be reading a book than playing with a toy. And then what do? We go to school. And who do we learn from, right? We learn from the teacher at the front of the room, who's the trusted expert and authority. Right. And then what? When we go to those classes, what do we get handed? We get handed a textbook, right? So now imagine you are the teacher at the front of the room, right? The trainer, mm-hmm. the teacher, the coach, who's written your own textbook that goes along with your coaching program or your course. Mm-hmm. And you use this to open the door to more speaking opportunities. So getting on more podcasts, getting on more summits, so that you're now the speaker on the stage. And this is like what I call like the triple threat, the trifecta of being positioned as an authority, is you have the book that positions you as an authority. You teach and train using your own textbook as part of your curriculum. And then you get out on stages and you speak about it and you let people know I'm an author, right? I have a course or a program, because what else are we taught? We're taught going to school is a smart thing to do.
Right.
So some of it is just strategically positioning your coaching program as a course, right?
Yep.
As having a curriculum, because we believe that going and getting education is something that's important to do. So they're all little small nuances in the world of marketing that now you're not perceived by your audience as the sales and marketing person trying to jam up something you don't need down your throat. You're perceived as the trusted advisor, the expert,
right. The
teacher, the trainer. And that change in perception from your audience shortens the sales cycle. It has people buying from you more often and faster. And it's just a game changer. It was a miraculous transformational game changer in my business. So at that seminar, while I was listening to this gentleman describe that to me, I was like, I'm in. Like, that's it. He literally sold me by explaining that to me. And so I hired him and I went to town writing my very first book. And my first book was the Financial Fitness Playbook. It was the book that grew my finance business. Less than a year after writing this book, 12 months later, I had doubled my income. And I'm talking like my six-figure plus income in my job. I had now doubled in my independent advisory practice just by being able to use better tools, better strategies, and having a game plan around it. That somebody, I listened to somebody, I took his advice, and I went out and implemented that into my business. And the results were so transformational, Jody, that I decided I can't not share this with other people. Plus, let's be honest, the financial services world was pretty still miserable, right? Nobody wants to talk about life insurance, but everybody wants to talk about writing a book.
Yeah, that's very true. And yeah, nobody wants to talk about what they're going to leave when they're gone. You know, you can be as responsible as you want to be and you know, want to provide for whoever you're going to leave behind. But at the end of the day, that would require you going somewhere to leave them something behind. So yeah, it's a difficult conversation. Yeah. And I would imagine not one that is that many people seek out to have, but they need to be sought to have. And so that makes it much more difficult. And so you took this idea, you wrote your book, you saw the success, you saw the doubling of the income, you saw that you could reach more people, that more people were coming to you for financial advice, and you thought, huh, I should show other people how to do this. So talk to me a little bit about the Book Buyers Blueprint and Training program that you've set up, a Book to Buyers Blueprint and Training. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the Book to Buyers Training program that evolved out of this, me learning how to do it for myself in the finance sector is really been quite the journey, and just so much fun to put together, because I'm able to help people down this path of how do you lead somebody down a path of working with you, right? And there, it's just mirroring the customer journey. And I think in the marketing space, that's a big problem that I see, is that most coaches and trainers and gurus in the marketing space aren't teaching people the fundamentals. The fundamentals are, how do you lead somebody from not knowing who you are down a path to nurturing, know, like, and trust to where they're at the point where they will hire you to help them with their problem, right? And you said it very well at the beginning. It's that whole idea of, who is your customer? Mm-hmm. Right? What's the problem that they have? What do they dream of having on the other side of that problem, if the problem could be with a magic wand waved and disappeared, right? And then it's putting yourself and your program or your course or your services in the middle of the problem and the results. So it becomes the bridge. It bridges the gap from where they are now to where they want to be. And then you become the solution.
Yeah.
And not you, really. They're not buying you. They're buying a framework. They're buying a system. They're buying an outcome, and they're buying your framework.
Right.
And so all I do is I help people put their framework together really easily and effortlessly, right? I help people plan, package, and price out a program. Then we design the offer, that irresistible offer that when they clearly articulate it, people are like, oh my God, I want some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we back engineer, how are we going to lead people down the path to you presenting that offer, right? So I do that through an enrollment strategy or a conversion, a client conversion event. So which can look like a lot of different things. I teach people five different types of conversion events, but in its simplest form, it's a sales conversation, right? Yeah. A coaching call, a strategy session. For newer coaches, this would be the enrollment strategy that we would implement for them. More advanced coaches will be running things like a multi-day, like Facebook challenge, for lack of a better descriptor. So how are you putting together an enrollment or a conversion event that showcases what you do, that explains to them, you know, why they could use your help doing it, and helps them overcome some objections and leads them down that path to saying yes. And then at the very top of the funnel is the book. So I teach people how to write that book as a lead generation tool. And then I teach them some traffic strategies, how to fill the top of that pipeline, right? Yeah. So whether it's speaking to bring leads into your business, whether it's using ads, right, or organic strategies, or a commission-only sales team, I teach people the traffic strategies. So it's an A to Z, how to turn readers into high ticket clients. And that's just in its simplest form what I'm helping people to achieve in that simple step-by-step path that your client's going to follow. And we mirror that for your business and put it all together. So you have a predictable and consistent client acquisition strategy and system in your business.
It's a literal soup to nuts, beginning to end, alpha to omega process. I mean, you know, because a lot of people think, and speakers especially, I know a lot of speakers, I talk to speakers, what's the one thing that a speaker will tell you? You got to have a book. Got to have a book. Write a book. Write a book. Write a book. Write a book. It's all I've heard. Write a book. Write a book. Okay. Then what? So you know, this process, this books to buyers blueprint and training, it takes you from write a book to write a book and then, because just having a book, you can write the best book that's ever been written. Yeah. If no one knows about it, you haven't really done anything.
I love that you said that. Yeah, you have to be able to write it, but then you have to know what to do next. And and that was the challenge, right? I used my book. I used it to get speaking opportunities. Medium publicity was a huge thing too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm in Canada, but I had CTV News at my book launch. Like, how did that happen? Right. Well, that happened because I had a plan to go outreach local media and publicity. Yeah. And then what happens is, in the world of media, media begets media. Yes, so what happens is then your local guys pick you up, and then the provincial guys start to see you, and they see that you're articulate, right? You know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You've got your book that you speak about. And then they go, oh, we could interview her for our platform, because mm-hmm. the one thing media wakes up with every single morning, every single week, every single month is a blank slate. They need to fill it with experts. Yes. They are looking for experts and expert authors. So they go and search for that. And so my local media turned into provincial media, right, as a Canadian, mm-hmm. and then it turned into national media. Mm-hmm. So I also teach that in the program too, right? How to go and outsource free media. Because most people think about getting on radio or TV, you have to pay for it. But there's a way to get it all for free.
That's right.
And if you can position that effectively, that was a really big game changer as well. And then you're right. It's just a back engineered plan, right? Yeah. I call it the all roads lead to Rome kind of model, right?
Right, right.
So first you have to figure out where Rome is, and then mm-hmm. you start leading everybody down the path to get there. So now, once we've back engineered what your program looks like, every piece of content, everything leads down the path to somebody saying yes to your program offering, right? Yeah. So it's not about writing a book to sell books, remember? It's about writing a book that positions you as an expert, that gets you speaking opportunities that lead back to your enrollment event, that lead to your program offer.
Exactly.
Everything leads back to the same strategic pathway. And when I talk about funnels, I want people to know that this isn't, I'm not talking about just like a click funnel or like a technical funnel. I'm talking about the client journey, the pathway, because it can be all done manually. So if you're just starting out and tech overwhelms you, I'm not necessarily talking about putting a technological funnel in place. I'm talking about you understanding what is the next step for your client, because you need to show them where that is. So it can be as simple as going to a networking event, meeting mm-hmm. somebody awesome, and then saying, hey, let's do this next, right?
Yep.
The next step is get on a Zoom call. Let's have a meet and greet. The next step from that is, hey, I've got a free training you could come to. Mm-hmm. And then the next step from that is they go to your free training and you get to present your offer, right? So that can all be done manually. Obviously, if you're looking to grow and scale, a technological funnel will be helpful for you. But all of this strategy work can be done in advance of you needing a complicated funnel system, right? You need to know the journey first.
Absolutely. And the one thing all of this has in common is that luck has nothing to do with any of it. So I want to dive in, because I want to talk about your quote. And I want you to tell us what quote you're bringing to us, who said it, and why this quote is impactful to you. But when everyone hears the quote, I think they're going to know. But tell us why this quote really speaks to you.
Yeah, so the quote was, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. And of course, I'd already sent you all of this in advance. So this is a quote by the, I think it's a Roman, is it Roman emperor?
Roman philosopher.
He's a Roman philosopher. His name is Seneca. And the quote is inspiring to me, because I love it when people suggest, like, oh yeah, like, she's so lucky, or, you know, or he's so lucky. And my thought process every time somebody says that is absolutely luck has nothing to do with this. Because what people don't, the people see the success from the outside, but they don't see all the steps and the planning and the preparation and the hard work that went in the back end. You know, it kind of reminds me like that iceberg. Have you, if you've ever seen the iceberg meme on Facebook or online on social media, it's like you all we see is the tip of the iceberg, right? What most people don't see is everything below the surface that's happening, right?
Yep.
The courses that I had to take, or that, you know, if you're also in this game of entrepreneurship, right? All of the hard work, the courses, the planning, the late nights. You know, when you're first starting out as an entrepreneur, this whole like, I want to buy back my time and my freedom. I mean, let's just be honest, like it's front end loaded heavy with time. Like there's some days I'm working 14 or 16 hour days, but I know I'm creating a life for myself that is purpose driven, that's free of, you know, people that are holding me back.
And
it's going to be up to me. And that is very powerful. It's a powerful concept to embrace that when you can kind of put some goals, some decisions, some planning and some oomph behind it.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really powerful.
Well, people that know me are going to roll their eyes when I say this, because I am a huge fan of Clemson football, the Clemson Tigers, University of Clemson. And their head coach, Dabo Sweeney, said after winning his first of two national championships, yes, that was a dig at whoever is opposed to us. But but what he said was championships are won when no one is looking. And it's all about the things that you do in the off season, spring practice, in the weight room, in the cafeteria, the nutritional aspect of it, in the classroom, on the practice field, when the stands are empty and everyone is out living their lives. And these young men who are and women with women's sports, these young women and women who are competing at the collegiate level are doing so, well, not so much anymore, but they were doing so voluntarily without getting paid. Some of them are getting paid really well.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother podcast for a whole nother day. But anyway, they're sacrificing their time, their energy, their effort, their freedom in some cases into how much they work while going to school to accomplish something, to accomplish something great. And if you're truly going to accomplish something great, it happens when no one's looking. It happens when you're running the stadium stairs, when you're, you know, in the weight room lifting weights. It doesn't always just happen during the game. It's all about what happens before the game and preparation, meeting opportunity. Yeah, that's the best definition of luck. Otherwise, luck doesn't exist. I mean, you have to have a little bit of oh, it was great that I happened to go to this and this person happened to go to this. And we happened to talk. But you also have to prepare. Like I could have very easily sat on the couch and not gone. So there's an argument both ways. Yeah, there's a little bit of chance to come together to meet, but there's always preparation behind that you have to go.
Yeah. It's like that concept of like, you still have to buy the lottery ticket if you want to win the lottery.
There's one way to guarantee that you're not going to win the lottery.
Don't buy the ticket.
Now, so, I've bought a few and I'm still here, so I haven't won yet.
I hear you.
I had, you know, it's like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance. There's a chance. You have to buy a ticket.
And I love that you said that, you know, that there's some chance meetings. There are chance meetings. And then I also sometimes have this feeling that nothing is really by chance. And it's you taking those action steps and in preparation, the universe opens up these opportunities for you. So the second part of this is you need to be open and willing to receive and to see the opportunities.
Yes.
And I think the preparation is what actually is like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? You preparing opens your mind and it activates scientifically your reticular activation system. So when you tell the world, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for opportunities. I'm looking for ways to grow my business. I'm looking for great clients. I'm looking for opportunities to speak. I'm looking for great collaborative partners. When you start speaking this to life, making a decision that this is something you want, the world starts bringing it to you because scientifically your brain is now going, oh, well, there's an opportunity. Hey, Kim, did you meet Jody? Jody can bring you on a podcast. Hey, Kim, did you know that there's a networking meeting happening next week? I think you should clear your calendar and get to that, right? Yep. So this is what happens when preparation meets opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Luck is all of a sudden everywhere. And you don't have to look for it.
And you don't have to look for it. And the great thing about it is, because I know I've talked to people and coach people and people ask me questions about, you know, how do you know so many people? How do you get connected? And I go through the process of what it takes to network and what that really means. And you really do have to go into a networking event, whether it be online, virtual, or in person. You have to go in with a plan. You have to go in with an idea of what you want, who you want to talk to, what you want to get out of it, and then you have to evaluate your results. Now, if you're going to do all of that preparation ahead of time, when you show up, you're a lot less likely to go sit in the corner and not talk to anyone. And so, because you're going to waste all that prep time. And even the most introverted, quiet, recluse person, if they put in the work and effort and energy to say, this is what I want to do, and then they go sit in the corner, they're going to walk away thinking, I wasted my time. And you did. So yeah. go harvest the fruit of your labors of the prep.
Right.
That's what I tell people about network. They're like, I don't want to network. Well, but if you put in the work, if you put in the prep time, if you put forth the effort, you're going to want to network. Otherwise, you've wasted your time.
Yeah, absolutely. So you couldn't have said it better. I just love that. And it really does. The magic starts to happen, right? And it happens. Sometimes you don't even notice it happening. And then all of a sudden it's like you're 6 months down the road and you realize, wow, like look at all of the progress I've made just by being able to say, hey, like I'm going to go after this and I'm going to take some steps towards it, right? Lean in. I call it massive imperfect action. Like, don't wait, just get started. You don't need to be great to get started, but you do need to get started to get great. And
I love that. That's great.
That's another quote. And I just love the quotes, right? It's funny because I went to grade school. And when I was kind of sitting here and really thinking about what this quote meant to me after chatting with you, I realized I went to a public school in Canada called Stephen Leacock Elementary. And Stephen Leacock also wrote a great quote about luck, which was goes something to the effect of, I'm a great believer in luck. And in fact, I find the harder I work, the more luck I have.
So, that's very good. Very true.
It was ironic. I went to that school and he had that quote. So it was just, I feel like everything flows together and
it does. You know,
nothing happens by accident. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm lucky that I had got fired from that job when I did. I got fired from that job in the end of August of 2019. Mm. So think about that. And made the decision not to go find another job. I made the decision to take another gander at this entrepreneurship. And then what happened less than 6 months later or 7 months later? The world shut down. I would have lost my job anyways at that dealership.
Sure.
COVID was coming hard down the pipe.
Yep.
And they shut down to a skeletal staff of which I wouldn't have been part of. So luckily I had a 6 month prep time in advance of COVID. Exactly. So, you know, everything just works out. And when you can see the opportunities, even in the challenging times, you become the luckiest person in the world.
Absolutely. So Kim, as we wrap up here, you know, and I mentioned to you, what I really love for my audience is for them to be able to win their week. Win your week is so important to me because it's just, it's a philosophy of how to achieve goals. You do things that you normally wouldn't do in order to achieve things you normally wouldn't receive, right? Mm-hmm. And so and part of the reason for starting this podcast, for doing this, for focusing on motivation and inspiration, is that I want people to walk away from this episode inspired by your quote to do something that they would not have normally done in order for them to win a moment, to win a few moments, to win a day, to win a few days, and then ultimately win their week. Because I believe that if you win your week, you win enough weeks, you're going to hit your goal. Right. So how can people take this and apply it to their life to say, you know what? I want to create my luck. How do they do that? How do they go win their week?
Yeah, well, if I had to break it down into a three-step process, step one would be decide. Decide you're going to win your week.
Nice.
Right? Every single thing that you do in your life starts with a moment of decision. Mm-hmm. Right? So decide what it is that winning your week looks like for you, which leads to step two, right? Jot some things down. What does winning your week look like for you? Right? Write that out. Is it that you got your health back on track this week, that you worked on your relationship with your partner to improve it this week? Maybe it's something that you want to do to propel your business forward. Whatever that decision is about what winning your week looks like, write some steps down about what you might take this week to move towards that goal. Mm-hmm. And then step number three, you've got to get it out of your head and get it into action, right? That's what creates momentum. So my biggest number one thing is I tell all of my students to do when I'm working with them is just don't be afraid to take massive imperfect action. Mm. Because even if you take a few steps forward and a couple steps back, you'll always be in that forward propelling movement and momentum, right? So decide, make a plan, and take some action.
Love it. It's fantastic. If you do that, then you're preparing and you're going to meet opportunity and you're going to create your luck. And that was a fantastic quote that ties perfectly back to not only what we were talking about in terms of the quote, but what we talk about in terms of what you do, Kim. So if there's someone in my audience that's like, I want to get in touch with her. I want to understand how I can build my business through writing a book and then generating leads and having all of these roads lead to my Rome. How do people get in touch with Kim? How do they go through the process? What can people do to say, hey, I'm raising my hand. I want to do this.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for that opportunity, Jody. And yeah, if you were inspired by any of this, you want to kind of take a look at what it might look like to put a book into your marketing system so you can create consistent and predictable income, right? My biggest struggle was I was on that income roller coaster. So if you feel like you're on the income roller coaster, I'll tell you right now, income roller coasters are fun at the amusement park. They're not so fun in business. And if you want to get off of that ride and get into consistent and predictable income, I'd love to invite you to take the opportunity to, here's your luck, right? I'm going to gift you some free resources. And if you'd like to access those free resources, I have my Book to Buyers Toolkit, which is actually three big juicy resources. In fact, it's a ChatGPT book launch blueprint. So I give you the exact prompts to plan out what is your Rome look like, right? And how to back engineer your irresistible offer. I also give you the second resource in that toolkit is five launch map strategies. So remember I talked about there's the enrollment funnel. So I give you the five ones I teach my clients, and it's fully laid out for the visual learners. It's one page for each map, and I'll give you all five of them so you can start trying to figure out which one is the right one for you. And then the third resource in that toolkit is my traffic strategies. So I talked about how do you fill your events and your programs mm-hmm. with people. I give you my best traffic strategies. And then the best part is when you get access to that toolkit, I have a training that you can come to where I'll show you how to execute, right? Take that massive imperfect action towards putting your blueprint together that will turn readers into high ticket clients consistently, predictably, and scalably into your business.
That's amazing. And so how do we get the toolkit?
So you can, I don't know where you post your podcast, Jody, but if you want to pop in the comments, I love commenting with people. Yep. You can comment toolkit in the comments below and I'll make sure to get that for you. I'll also grab a link for you, Jody, so you can either distribute it to your audience yourself via, you know, the podcast, via email, and I'll make sure that there's more than one way to get access to that toolkit for sure.
Perfect. Love that. Generating leads. And we will definitely work with Kim to figure out how you can comment no matter what podcast service you're listening to on right now. Go to the comments. We'll put it in the episode in the episode recap, how you can get access to this toolkit so that you can become a powerful lead generating entrepreneur with this process working with Kim. Kim, thank you so much for this quote. Thank you for being on the Quotivation Podcast. This has been an absolute blast. I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you so much, Jody, for having me. It was a pleasure. I can't wait to hear the full episode.
Oh, it's going to be fun. Oh, it is going to be fun. I hope you're having fun listening to that wonderful conversation with Kimberly Day. Kim, thank you so much again for being on the Quotivation Podcast and providing that awesome quote. Luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. And that from Roman philosopher Seneca. It's so true. But right now we have an opportunity to enjoy a little bit of dessert. Stick around for the last slice of cheesecake.
How about some dessert before you go? There isn't anything that can't be solved over a slice of cheesecake. So before we wrap things up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the last slice of cheesecake.
Luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. You create your own luck. And Kim gave a great example of her time in the automotive finance industry, working for pennies to make someone else dollars. Now, I recognize that not everyone is supposed to be an entrepreneur. Some of us are happiest having the consistency of a job, of doing the same things over and over and working to earn whatever pay the company deems to be appropriate for the job we do. The difficulty comes for people like Kim, who are destined to be an entrepreneur, but feel the need to claim the false security that a job brings. And she said it, the day she was fired, she knew never again would she put herself in a position where someone else had the power to turn her world upside down. She took control of her situation and prospered from it. But it didn't just happen. She put in the work. She prepared. She sought opportunities. That's how she created her quote-unquote luck. Championships are won when no one is looking. Success is achieved in the actions we do and the people we meet. Both of those things are things that we can initiate, we can control, we can manifest. Luck has little to do with it. Luck is created when we're ready and when we seek opportunities. So if this is you, if you have that entrepreneurial spirit, if you are or feel the need or the desire or have the dream to do something big on your own for yourself, then don't let shackles that you've placed on yourself hold you back. Fear, shame, self-doubt, complacency, they all try to keep us imprisoned in a state of mere existence. Instead, break free from those shackles, turn the captors into catapults, and use them to launch yourself forward. Go do the work for you. Go create opportunities for you. Go get what you deserve. It won't be easy. It wasn't easy for Kim, but it will be worth it. So if you have that entrepreneurial spirit and you feel called to be something else, to be something more, then prepare. Create opportunities. Go win your week. And Kim can help you go win your week. So check out the comments, check out the episode description and how you can learn more, how you can connect with Kim, how you can get that free packet that we were talking about. So read the episode guide, episode recap, and you'll see how you're able to do that. That's all the time we have for today. I want to thank Kimberly Day. I want to congratulate and thank Amy Real. I want to congratulate her on her new adventure. See, she was prepared, and she created her opportunity, and now I know she is going to thrive in her new situation. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for listening. Until next time. Stay quotivated.
You have been listening to the Quotivation Podcast, hosted by America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. If you would like to book Jody to speak at your company, conference, or next event, visit www.jodypowellspeaks.com. You can also email him at Jody, that's J-O-D-Y, at JodyPowellSpeaks.com. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Quotivation Podcast. And remember, stay quotivated.